Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today's guest is debut author Sarah Smith. Her book, Faker, comes out today, and it's an enemies to lovers office romance that is steamy. In this episode, we chat about her writing process, her journey to get her book published, and finally, a round of book recommendations. Now let's get to the show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Laura.
So happy to have you here. So welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on.
So happy. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I am I'm an author, and I live in Bend, Oregon with my husband and my cat. I write from home. This is my first venture to become an author, I guess.
I love it. So what inspired you to become a writer?
I can't really pinpoint like a specific event that made me think, oh, I should be a writer. It was just always something that I enjoyed doing ever since I was a little kid and I knew how to write. I would write like super silly short stories from a young age. And I just always loved how, like writing and making up stories using my imagination made me feel I was just always happy whenever I was writing.
So you're a published author of Faker, which is your debut novel. What was your journey to get your book published?
Okay. It was a long one and filled with lots of failures. So before I wrote Faker, I wrote a totally different romance manuscript in 2016 that was like a complete failure. And I read that like, I don't know, almost 50 times. And it was just rejected it. It was terrible. So Faker was actually my second attempt at trying to write and publish a book. And I spent the first 5 months of 2017 writing Faker. And then I spent that summer revising and sending it to beta readers. Then I started querying in the fall and winter of 2017. And again, I got tons of rejections, a couple dozen, I think. And then I took a break for my own sanity. Just because getting nonstop rejected for months on end is never fun for me. So then I revised again, and then I participated in Kiss Pitch on Twitter on Valentine's Day of 2018. And that's when romance writers pitch their completed manuscripts via tweets on Valentine's Day. And I got some interest from, I don't know, like maybe like 10 agents and editors. And when I submitted to that first batch, I got another handful of rejections. But then my amazing agent, Sarah Younger, from the Nancy Yost Literary Agency, responded after my initial query, after she liked my Kiss Pitch tweet saying that she loved Faker. So after I chatted with her, I signed with her and that agency in the spring of 2018. And then we spent that summer revising, and then we went out on submission. And a couple months later, I had a two-book deal with Berkeley.
Congratulations. Yeah, you have a second book. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I feel really lucky.
That's amazing. So let's talk about your writing. Do you follow an outline or do you see where the story leads you?
I prefer to see where the story leads me because I'm a total pantser. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard like, you know, are you a plotter or a pantser? And I'm totally a pantser. Yeah, and outlines completely used to freak me out. I don't know why I would just like write an outline and just lose my inspiration. I don't know why that used to happen. But now that I'm trying to make a career out of writing books, I realize that outlines are totally necessary. And editors and publishers want to see outlines when they ask you to write a book for them, and they help hold you accountable and get you paid. So, so now I'm much better about putting together an outline for any serious book idea that I have. And the ones that I come up with are pretty general. Maybe only like a page long, but, and I still change a lot during the writing process. It's honestly just a rough guide for me.
That sounds good. I feel like an outline can give you an idea or just this getting sense of what the book's going to look like, but then
you know, when you meet the characters, when certain things happen, you may be inspired by a different idea or a different thing. And so yes, that sort of might take you a different place.
Yeah, that is exactly how it works for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of the ideas, inspirations, and characters?
Well, I have like a notebook that I like to jot ideas into. As far as like keeping track of ideas or inspiration, it's really weird. I'll like jot it down sometimes in an email draft. And if I keep going back to that idea and adding to it, I know I've got something special and worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. If I lose interest, like then it's fine. It just stays like in an email draft. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's probably not the greatest method because my agent, like she reminds me like, oh, that's like a great way to accidentally delete email drafts. So I definitely need to come up with something better. But I think part of me is a little superstitious and wants to keep doing it because it's what's worked for me so far. But I do not recommend it. Like other people should definitely think of a better way than what I do.
It's understandable. Yeah. It works for you right now. Just keep it. You'll figure out if something stopped working. You'll figure out a new way how to work with.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Yeah. So do you share your work along the way or do you wait until it's completed for others to read?
I used to be really adamant about not talking or sharing about my writing until it was done. I did that with Faker. Like I didn't tell anybody that I had even written a book, not even my husband, until I had an offer of representation from my agent. So when I started to like slowly tell people about this writing career I was pursuing, it was a big shock to a lot of them. And I just think I was just paranoid about like jinxing things by being too open about it. But now I kind of realize like that's really silly and I'm definitely more open about my work now, but I still like to keep like the details to myself. So like if I'm working on a new book, I'm fine with telling people about that, but I won't go into like real deep detail about what it's about. I kind of like keeping that close to me initially until I have like something completed.
Yeah. So how did you keep it a secret from your husband when you were writing a book? God.
I wrote at night. I'm just really good at like keeping things to myself. If it means a lot to me and I don't want to like spoil it or jinx it, I don't really have a problem keeping something to myself.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was just really, I don't know. I was just really scared to be like, oh, here I am trying this thing and it was a total failure. And I just didn't want anybody to like think poorly of me, which is ridiculous. Like that's a stupid insecurity, but now I think I'm getting better about that. I'm being definitely more open, which is good.
Yeah. I think it takes some time. I think you are embarking on your career. So it takes years to just get comfortable with being your own skin, being proud of what your work is. And so that's going to take some time. And, you know, having others read it, the process of getting a book published, others are going to read it throughout the process. So it's just, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I felt. Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's talk about your book, Faker. I absolutely adore the enemies to lovers love trope. And Emmy and Tate working within the construction company was a unique premise because Emmy was working in a male-dominated field. So what inspired you to have this unique premise?
Well, thank you first. I'm so glad that you like it. So I chose it because it was kind of my own background. And honestly, it was just easy to pull from something that I had already experienced rather than like a totally different, you know, career and then to research that. So that was like, honestly, that was my laziness, but it was just, it was something that I had worked in. So like in my 20s, most of my 20s, I worked for a power tool distributor. I worked in a warehouse. Like it was really easy to pull from like in the book, there are some meetings that happen. There are like side characters that you run into. And those are all like based off of some real life experiences that I had. So it was just easier that way. And I also wanted to see if I could take something like as boring and unromantic as like construction and power tools and make it all like sexy and steamy. It was just kind of like a fun personal challenge that I wanted to see. Cause like, there's nothing unsexier to me than like a warehouse, a gravel parking lot, like a bunch of old dudes like hanging around you. So it was just kind of like a personal challenge for myself.
So what were you doing at the power tool company?
Oh, I was a copywriter for a lot of the product lines that we carried. So I would write like product descriptions and shopping guides and email content, or like marketing email content. So that kind of,
So very sexy stuff that makes the perfect setting for a romance novel.
Right. Yeah, it was the unsexiest place possible, I assure you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a unique setting. Like, I think I read a couple of books about home building, but nothing about construction, which is a unique setting for romance. And I read a lot of romance. So, this was like a unique setting. And then you add the enemies to lovers trope, which was like even better because it was like office, you know, I hate to love you.
Yeah. So
proximity, it was just like, okay, there's combustion is going to happen.
Oh, that makes me feel so happy. Yes, exactly.
So Emmy's chemistry sizzles as they hate each other. How fun was to write this relationship?
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. I'm not at all a person who can, like, if I hate somebody, like, I could never fall in love with them. Like, I think the best that ever happened was I met someone that I just hated them, and like we became like okay acquaintances. Like, that's the best I could ever do. So it was just really fun to like try to write something that was so different from how I am in real life. It was just like another personal challenge in my writing that I wanted to kind of pursue and try out. I really love that whole cliche, like that whole, oh, there's a thin line between love and hate. It's just something that's always been like really compelling to me. And I think it's just because like both of those emotions, like the thing that they have in common to me is that like, whether you hate someone or you love someone, you're just like passionately feeling that emotion for them. So it was fun to kind of like play with that dynamic, like to write certain circumstances and scenes in the book where they hate each other, and then tweaking certain elements later on to show like how they could slide so easily into falling for each other and showing that like it was so easy to have happen because like the passion was already there. You're just kind of like on opposite ends of the spectrum, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think in some ways it reflected the relationship where, you know, they hated each other at the beginning and we didn't understand why they hated each other other than it was just like miscommunication. But then events happened that just created a place where they had to be close proximity and just kind of like, okay, we got to work together.
Right.
And that turned that passion of hate, it turned into acceptance and then perhaps love. So it went through different stages, which I like, because it wasn't just completely friends to love, like hate to lovers. Like it was hate to friends, friends to lovers.
Yes, like, exactly.
Yeah, like it was slow burn, and even though it was steamy, it was still like a little slow burn. Like it wasn't like I hate you and then I want to sleep with you.
Right. Yeah.
So that's awesome. So Emmy thinks that she's the opposite of Tate, but her best friend points out that she's similar to Tate. Why create this parallel between the characters?
I thought it was really important to show that despite Emmy's and Tate's differences, like in their personalities and their background and their life experiences, they still shared a lot of similarities. And common ground, and that was something that they could bond and connect over. I just really like, I think a lot of times people can get caught up in what's different between themselves and other people, and it can lead to a lot of conflict, and you don't really see past those negative differences or assumptions that you've made. So just being able to create that parallel between Emmy and Tate and show that like they have a lot in common and they have a lot that they can relate to, and they're like their feelings on a lot of things are the same. It kind of just like drives home that idea that we're a lot, like all of us are a lot more similar than we think, and we're a lot closer than we think. And I think once we realize that, it's a lot easier to empathize with someone and relate to them and form a bond with them. So that was just kind of just kind of an idea I was trying to convey.
Yeah, it reflected, because I can see the parallels until the best friend pointed out. I was like, oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Like, they act the same way.
So. Right, yeah. And sometimes you don't even know, like, you need your best friend to be like, actually point out this very obvious thing that you're doing that you had no idea that you were doing.
Yeah. So Emmy is Filipino, but she grew up in Hawaii and then ends up in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Is there some parallel from your real life? Like, is something, what inspired you to create this character who had multiple cultural backgrounds and then being dropped into a place where she's the elder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, so my mom grew up in Hawaii. So like I had that kind of as a background for that part of things. And like I grew up in Nebraska, so that was easy to pull from for me. But I also wanted to write a character who looked like me, as weird as that sounds, but who also like had a similar background as me, because like I was a really avid reader when I was a kid, and I never really, I never came across a character that had my same background, and it always made me feel kind of like an outsider in like a whole entertainment thing that I really liked doing. And like it even made me feel like somebody with my background couldn't be the main character in a book, which like just made me feel really, you know, sad and disappointed. So when I wrote Faker, I wanted to show that like diverse main characters existed, and that, and I mean, like, I also really want someone reading my book to be able to see themselves and visualize themselves as like the main character, as part of the story. Just because I really think that seeing yourself represented in like the media you consume and the entertainment that you consume is so important when it comes to representation. And I kind of just realized that if I wanted better representation in the media I was consuming, that I would probably have to write like a main character with the same background as me, just because that was the only way that I could think to do it. And also like, my own experiences working as a young woman in a male dominated industry. I don't think some people still just don't realize like what you go through or the kind of things that you encounter. And I wanted people to be aware of those things that women experience when they're working in that kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a bunch of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. I try to make a better job about, I'm Puerto Rican, so I try to make a better job about looking for own voices, how's this called in the industry, for own voices, romance novels, because there's not a lot. And so it's like when you find one that represents you or talks about the other and talks about the struggle or, you know, what you encounter in your life and you see romance as part of it, it kind of gives you a better example of opportunity, or just it shows you like it can happen to you.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
So I really appreciate that you brought a diverse character, a character who encounter not just working in a male dominated field, but also encounter racism and just kind of like in the cultural background that was diverse, that it wasn't just, you know, I think the assumption is like you're Filipino, you come from Philippines and you're in the Midwest. Like there's the cultural background of being Hawaii, which is a whole different cultural experience than, you know, being from the Midwest.
Right. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. And I hoped that like, or at least that was part of what I was trying to convey in the book, like when, you know, she's talking about like all these things that she misses about Hawaii and how like Tate has given her a hard time about like calling, you know, flip-flops slippers or stuff like that. Like they're, even though like Hawaii and Nebraska obviously are in the same country, but like culturally there's a lot of difference too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the cultural nuances, because I actually read a book about Hawaii recently, and so I learned a lot about the different cultural nuances and different expectations, and I was like, oh, I did not know about it. And so it was great to see it in another book and to see the experiences. There are things you miss about the island. It's not just, you know, it's the food, it's the people, it's experiences, and just being able to show that.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So now let's go for a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what's your favorite genre?
My favorite genre is hands down contemporary romance. Like I will always be a contemporary romance lover. Yeah.
I love it. Who's your favorite author?
My favorite author is Stephanie Simpson. She writes contemporary British romance. Her series is the New City series. So it's set in this fictional city in England, and all of the books in the series, like, they have tons of angst and steam, and she's just really open about exploring, like, kink in her books. She very much prioritizes consent, but she also, like, explores disability and diversity. Her books totally move me, and anyone who's a romance lover should read her, like, immediately. I love her.
Yeah, I'm buying the book right now.
So. Oh, good. Oh, good, good. I hope you love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I usually look for cluster recommendations, people who read contemporary romance for, like, recommendations.
Yeah.
So it's like, whenever I hear a new author, I'm like, okay, let me just try it out. And most of the time are, like, hits. So I'm like,
oh, okay. Good. Okay, so, good.
Thank you. So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
Okay. Oh gosh. So I really had to think about this, but I think I have it narrowed down. So A Girl Like You by Gemma Burgess. That is, like, my favorite rom-com romance book of all time. Like, it's just so funny and witty and completely relatable. It's about this woman in London trying to, like, navigate the whole dating scene, and, like, just the way that she writes it, you feel like you're, like, watching a rom-com movie, but you're reading it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. Another book I love is Revenge by Yoko Ogawa, and that's not romance. So just a warning, like, it's not romance at all. It's like 11 short stories that are, like, horror stories kind of, but they're all, like, connected to each other. Cause, like, you know, the character in one story is, like, friends of a character in another story. Like, it, so they're all, like, marginally connected to each other, but, like, and I'm not, like, a big horror person, but, like, her writing is just so poetic. And, like, the way that she builds suspense is just really understated, but, like, so compelling. It's one of my favorite books ever. And I reread it, like, at least once a year. I love it so much. Mm. And then another book is A Good Night's Sleep by Stephanie Simpson. And it's another, it's a British contemporary romance. It's an enemies to lovers romance, which I love, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's about two characters. They live next to each other. So, like, they share a wall in this building that they live in, and they just get off on the absolute worst foot. They hate each other. They're arguing all the time. But then there's, like, a physical attraction that they can't really deny. So it chronicles, like, how they get from, like, enemies to lovers. And it's just, like, it's a total emotional roller coaster, but it's, like, super steamy, and there's a happily ever after. So it's amazing. Oh, and it explores kink too, which I don't think, like, a lot of mainstream romances do in such a responsible way. So yeah, those are my three favorite books of all time, probably.
I love it. I'm gonna probably pick up those two contemporary romance. That's for sure.
Okay.
So, what has been a book that you read this year that you love?
Okay, so I read Not Suitable for Work by Skye MacDonald. It's the first book in her Anti-Bell series. Mm-hmm. And it's an office romance. Again, I love office romances. Mm-hmm. It's set in Nashville, and the two main characters are competing for the same position at an up-and-coming business. And it's just, like, the steam is off the charts. The conflict is amazing. There's tension all over the place. It's incredible. Like, it's dual perspectives, which I don't always love, but Skye, like, she just absolutely nails it. Like, I could not put this book down. It was amazing.
I just pre-ordered.
So. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I love it. When you got me at Enemies to Lovers contemporary romance, I'm like, count me in.
Oh yes, me too. Like, if anybody ever recommends anything, I'm like, I'm there. I want to read it now.
So. I know, this is awesome. So tell us how to find me online.
Yes, so I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm pretty active on both. And you can find me. I'm at author Sarah S. I also have an author website, sarahsmithbooks.com, where I I'll update events and just try to keep everyone posted on everything that's coming up. And then I also have a blog where I write free romance short stories and flash fiction. And that's called sarahwritessmut.wordpress.com. And that, cause I know sometimes it's really hard to budget for books and you can't always afford books or whatever. So I just wanted to have a platform where I would always be contributing some sort of writing that people could access for free.
I love it. Thank you so much for doing it.
Oh yeah, of course. It's my pleasure. Yeah.
So thank you so much for being the show.
Yeah, I had so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thank you, Sarah, for a great interview. For show notes and list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another author interview. Have a great week.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.